right. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll find your way to the book of Luke, chapter number 24. Luke, chapter 24. As you'll notice in your congregational notes, it is two pages. And that means it might be lengthy, right? But that's okay, because I got 45 minutes, right? If it takes that long, right? Wanted to start a new series. I kind of like how sometimes you can just follow the scriptures and how it tells this one big story, right? I think we would all agree with that. From very creation to the end of time, it is one collective story. And so with Easter, it's kind of hard to not continue that story from His resurrection. And so I wanted to think about that. And as I was studying this week, we had looked at some of the appearances post-resurrection of Christ and how He appeared to Mary and then to some others, and Peter. And then I thought, well, He didn't stop there. He appeared to some more. And so I thought about the Emmaus Road, how He appeared to the disciples going down that road. And one passage in the scripture that I really want to, and I took the title from that passage actually, Hearts Burning. Because they had made a statement, and we'll look at it when we read momentarily, that said, did our hearts not burn within us? So I thought, hearts burning, eyes open, these encounters with the risen Christ. So this series will trace how Christ revealed Himself to His people after the resurrection, and how that through Scripture and calling and love and finally the life of the triune God, right? The Trinity, as we are Trinitarian in our theological belief. And so Jesus opens the Scriptures and is made known by the breaking of bread with His disciples, and how that Christ meets discouraged disciples and rekindles that hope that was in them before the crucifixion. And it kind of faded away as the resurrection, or as Christ laid in the tomb, and how that some didn't see Him after the resurrection. That hope had started fading away. And so I want us to think theologically, if you will, this for the next couple of few weeks, how that Jesus, when He encounters these people, how they were all discouraged. If you'll note that, every one of these that He encounters is discouraged, and how He rekindles that hope within them. Many believers walk down our own Emmaus Road, and oftentimes we are confused or disappointed or weary in the travels that we have. But yet Christ meets us in His Word and in His presence, and He turns that confusion into clarity and that despair into a proclamation. So I want us to think about that this morning as we look at hearts burning on the road. Hearts burning on the road. Luke chapter 24. And we'll begin reading in verse number 13. Luke 24, beginning in verse 13. It says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together in reason, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, what manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? He said unto them, what things? And they said unto Him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, and said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded up to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with him, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful, God, that you are with us on this road of life. And Lord, we pray that you would rekindle a flame within our own hearts, that it burns within us, that we see revival. And God, that we would see an outpouring of your love, your mercy, and your grace upon your people. And God, that you would save those that are lost. Lord, help us to proclaim your word boldly, much like the apostles did. God, I pray that now as we look at this word, Lord, you would hide me behind that precious cross of Calvary. Lord, if these folk not see me today, but they would see you. Speak to our hearts. Again, save that one that is lost. Bring that one that is backslidden to repentance. And Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor and the glory, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. This is the road that we all know too well, right? We've heard the story of the Emmaus Road experience, and we probably have heard countless sermons centered around this, and maybe we've never really placed ourselves on that Emmaus Road, but it's a road we all know very well. When we have to walk away from something that we had hoped would turn out differently, right? Just as the disciples were walking away here, they were not villains, but they were disappointed believers. And they were walking away from everything they had hoped for. Oftentimes we walk away from jobs or relationships, churches, dreams that we have because it didn't pan out, right? It wasn't what we had hoped. It wasn't what we had thought it would be. And that's what these disciples were doing on this Emmaus Road. They know the scriptures, right? And they followed Jesus, and they knew what Jesus did and was capable of doing. And they had hoped for redemption. And now they are walking away with these heavy hearts. This message this morning, the whole central idea is that Christ meets us on the roads of disappointment. He opens the scriptures. He reveals himself to us in the breaking of bread and sends us back with burning hearts. Notice this road of disappointment. It says that we had hoped, the scripture says, that we had hoped. And this is one of the most honest prayers in Scripture here, that we had hoped. Their words capture the ache of every believer who has ever prayed for healing that maybe didn't come, for reconciliation that didn't happen, for clarity that never arrived. We had hoped. I can tell you countless of moms and parents and dads and even grandparents who have counseled with me over the last decade or two decades of praying for their kids or grandchildren because they want them saved. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard the phrase, "We hope the Lord comes through." We hope. But notice, this verse says, we had hoped. Now, if you study English language, right, that's past tense, right? Had, that is in the past. Their hope is now behind them as they are walking down this Emmaus road. And so they had hoped. They know the facts, but they cannot see the meaning. They recount all of Jesus' ministry and His death and even the women's report there at the empty tomb. But the facts alone does not create faith for them. Christ must interpret these actions, these things that these others have talked about. And so Jesus draws near as they are walking down this road. But the Bible says that their eyes were not open, meaning they could not see, they did not understand, they didn't recognize Him as Jesus. Not because He is hiding, but oftentimes the griefs that we bear narrows our vision. And oftentimes God is working in our lives and we're so consumed and so concerned and concentrated on what's going on that we don't see Jesus working in the midst of the problem. And that's what was happening here. They were so focused on their disappointments and the fact that they haven't seen Jesus. They hear all these reports, but they haven't seen Him yet. And by that, they were not focused. And they didn't recognize. Many Christians today walk with Jesus without even recognizing His presence in their life. See the road of disappointment. Secondly, Christ opens the Scriptures to them. Jesus begins with Moses and all the prophets. Now bear in mind, they had mentioned that Christ was a what? Great prophet. That He was a great man. That He did great things in the name of God. And so for this man to come along, and of course I say this man in the sense they don't realize that it's Christ, and He begins with Moses and goes through all the prophets. He doesn't give them new information. He gives them information that they have had all along, but He's giving them new understanding. And the whole story of the Scriptures points to Him, the suffering Messiah, the redeeming Lord, the Savior. The Word of God is not just informative, but it is transformative, right? It transforms the purpose. It interprets our lives and our disappointments and our fears. And then when Christ opens up and He begins to speak to our heart began to warm. I love how you can read a passage of Scripture, and I know we've talked about this before, and you'll read this passage, and it'll say something to you in that moment, in that time. But you go and pick that same Scripture up next year, and it'll say something totally different, right? Because the Scripture is alive, right? And this is what Christ is saying to them, that their hearts begin to warm because He gives them this new understanding for the moment that they are in. This is the church's confidence that Christ still opens the Scriptures today. He still speaks to us today through preaching and through teaching and through the Spirit's illuminating of the Word. And this Emmaus story is the model for Christian worship. We read and we study the Word, and then we go out with a mission. Christ reveals Himself in the breaking of bread. And this was a turning point in this story here, as he wasn't going to, right? The Scripture says that he was going to stop a little ways off, but they invited him. They said, "Hey, well, it's getting dark. It's getting late," this paraphrasing. "It's getting a little late. Why don't you just come stay with us?" You know, maybe they liked his preaching. Maybe they liked his teaching and they wanted to hear more about what this man knows about their Jesus. And so they invite him, and their eyes are opened. But isn't it interesting that their eyes were not opened during the study of the Bible? Their eyes were opened at the table. It was opened at the table. Recognition comes through hospitality and communion. This is where Christ reveals Himself to them. Jesus is the host. Even when we think we are inviting Him, He is the host. We invite Him to stay, but He becomes the one who blesses and who breaks and who gives. Christ is known in the breaking of bread. This isn't something that's magic or illusioned or anything like that. It's because Jesus kept His promise to be present. To be present. And so this is, Christ is present in our lives even today. He's present for you and for me, for us. And then notice that they say that our hearts were burning. You ever seen and I know you have, kids today probably wouldn't know what I was talking about. The young people that normally come, they may or may not know what I'm talking about. But on the Looney Tunes cartoons, yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. So I'm a big kid. I know y'all know that by now, but you know, I got to work with kindergarten this week, and it was fantastic for 3 days of the week because we get to watch cartoons and nap time and recess, right? That's like the best part of the whole day, right? But anyway, we was watching these Looney Tunes cartoons, and you remember, and I forget, it's the Martian guy, the little bitty Martian that comes, you know, sometimes in some of them. But anyway, have you ever noticed how he's walking at a normal pace, but his feet are like going 90 miles to nothing, right? And so I kind of got that picture in my head as I was studying this. Their hearts were burning and their feet were running. Because they have finally, it said their hearts burn within them, not emotionalism, and it's not driven by lights and smoke machines and fast-paced music. It wasn't about the emotionalism, but it was the Spirit working in them through the Word. And their burning hearts, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? And so they renewed their mission, right? They had a new wave of energy come about them to be able to say, "Hey, we know Christ is risen. Christ is risen." And so they returned to Jerusalem, the place where they were fleeing from. And so they did a 360 and turning back. And as like I said, I pictured their little feet running just like that little Martian would, running to tell the people the news. The gospel reverses direction. I tell the story of this because it's one of my favorite stories that probably illustrates this better than any. And it's real life, and those are the best kind, right? Real life story. It's about a pastor who we grew up with, him and his family, and he's not a whole lot older than me. But nonetheless, I remember growing up with him and his family, and we had all this farmland right there in Tupola, and there would be parties like crazy, all right? And we would have people parked down the sides of the street and in the fields. I mean, it would be just this, all kinds of things. Anyway, long story short, this man was known as the town drunk. All right? That was his life. He drank from sunup to sundown. That's how he lived. It was not uncommon for us, my parents and my brother and I, to find this gentleman either passed out in the field somewhere or in the road ditch. It was not uncommon. It was almost every weekend we can bank on this man being on our property somewhere, all right? And I remember the Sunday. He'd been going to the church. He was in church every Sunday. He'd been going to the church, always sat on the very back pew to the far right, as close to the wall as he could get. That was his seat every Sunday. And I remember seeing that man. We was on this side. And I could literally remember seeing that man every Sunday grabbing a pew and just doing this number back and forth. But he would never move. Every Sunday he would walk right out those doors and go back to doing his everyday normal routine. I remember one revival, he was sitting in the same spot. It was a Friday night. That man got up and he walked the aisle and he got saved. And I remember hearing people talk, well, that won't last, you know. Well, that's just a show. But I can tell you, it changed. That man was changed. And the preacher asked him, of course, the preacher knew him his whole life too, because you know how communities are. We all know everybody, right? We know everybody and everybody's business. And this pastor knew this man from when he was a kid. But nonetheless, he said, why today? And he said, I'd fought this for years. And he said, God said, if I walked out that door today, I'd never have another opportunity. The gospel reverses direction. Today, that man is a graduate of a seminary, and he's pastoring a fairly large church who used to sleep in the gutters, right? The ditches, is now leading a church. He's got a wife, two kids, living his best life, right? The gospel changes direction. Where fear sent them away, joy was bringing them back. And the Christian life is a continual movement from confusion to clarity, from despair to hope, from isolation to community, and from walking away to running. Christ meets us on our Emmaus roads, wherever they may be, in grief or disappointment or confusion or doubt. And He does not wait for us to get it together. Because you know what I've learned in the 38 years? I had to get it right because Mama would probably be listening to this later. She corrected me on my age. But in the 38 years that I have been living, we'll never get it together, right? We'll never get it together. There'll never be the perfect time other than now. Do it now. Why wait? Paul said today's the day of salvation. There's no need in putting it off, right? Get it together. He does not wait for us to get it together. Christ opens the Scriptures to us, and through preaching that centers on Christ crucified and Him risen again, through the Spirit who turns that information into a revelation, just like it was for these disciples Did not our heart burn within us? Christ sends us back into the world with burning hearts and a renewed purpose. I remember reading about John Wesley. The Wesley brothers, John and Charles Wesley, as you may know, is what started the Methodist movement before it became what it is today. It was never intended to even be a church. He was a past priest in the Anglican church, but he started a Bible study, and anyway, it became this phenomenon. They called it Methodist because of the method of the way they studied and proclaimed the word. Of course, Charles wrote numerous hymns, some of which are in our hymnal. But nonetheless, I remember hearing the testimony, or not hearing, but reading the testimony of John Wesley, who was an ordained minister in the church at the time. He went to a revival meeting here in the States. And in that revival meeting, he was standing there listening to this preacher, and I can't remember the preacher's name, but nonetheless, he was listening to this preacher, and he said that his heart was strangely tingling, hearing the gospel. I forget the passage, but it was in Romans that it was stirring John's heart to the point where John said that he was a lost man, ordained, but lost. And it sparked this whole movement of this holiness movement, which ended up becoming what the Methodist was, and some of the Pentecostal groups that split off of that, and then the Azusa Street. This is a very short church history lesson, but just say, in all of that, John, who was traveling down this road, and yet his heart was strangely tingling, as he called it. Isn't it amazing how Christ turns us around? And with burning hearts, with a renewed purpose, with a story to tell, just as the people are the disciples on the Emmaus Road, the Lord has risen. Indeed, He has risen. The road becomes a mission. This wasn't just another appearance of one of many appearances of Christ post-resurrection, but it is a pattern for us to look at it for the Christian life, that Christ meets us and teaches us and feeds us and then sends us. So wherever your road has taken you, Christ is already walking beside you. The question is, do we recognize Him? Do we recognize Him in our lives? Let Him open the Scriptures to you. Let Him break that bread of life with you. And let your heart burn again. We're going to extend a hymn of invitation this morning. This is your opportunity to do business with God. Whatever it is, I encourage you to come. Maybe it's to pray for a loved one. Maybe it's salvation. Maybe rededication. Maybe your heart is rekindling. And maybe we need to pray, Lord, fan the fire. Lord, make it burn within me again. It's the only kind of good heartburn, right? It's the fire of God in our lives. Whatever it is, will you come this morning? After the resurrection, when Christ was appearing to the multitudes that he was appearing to, that they had that renewed sense of surrendering their all. That this was not some man, right, proclaiming to do something or proclaiming he was the Son of God, but he is the Son of God. And even though it took them seeing him to understand, and even like Thomas to believe that he had risen, right? I need to see the nail prints. I need to see where the spear pierced your side. I believe that after that, they surrender their all. And of course, we know Paul went on to become one of the greatest missionaries that the early church ever had, right? What would it take for us to have that same sense of calling, to surrender our all, everything, my family, my kids, my church, whatever it is, Lord, we give it to you. And I think we'll see revival happen when that happens. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful, God, for your grace and for your presence here with us this morning, Lord. How thankful we are that we've had the privilege of being in your house, Lord, freely and openly worship you without fear, without trepidation, God, without anything to keep us or hindering us from doing so. We're so thankful for that freedom. And Lord, I pray that as we depart and go our separate ways this morning, that you would grant us safety, God, that you would bring us back the next appointed time. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.